चैव नरोत्तमां देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो चायं मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रजेषु अपत्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके मुखं करोति वच्चलां पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारणं परमानन्दमाधवां नम ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पश्चात्यादेशतारिणे. Today we will be reading from the sixth chapter of first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. It is entitled Conversation between Narada and Vyasadev. It is part of the Bhakti Vaibhava course discussions. And this corresponds to Narada Muni's explanation of the second part of his life. Last week we discussed in chapter 5 the first part of Narada Muni's life, of course in a very brief way, but the most relevant part, when he met the Bhakti Vedantas, the pure devotees of the Lord, who by Krishna's mercy visited his mother's place, or rather the place where his mother was working. And today, Narada Muni will continue explaining to Srila Vyasadeva the second part of his life after the Bhakti Vedantas departed and his mother passed away. He was practically helpless without anyone who could care for him but Krishna. And that was actually, he saw it actually as Krishna's mercy. And we will read verses 1 to 25. And the main themes of discussion I intend to explore are the qualifications of the candidate, which it was also discussed a little bit last week. Here we see more qualifications of the candidate. We could say that the previous week we saw what are the preliminary qualifications of the disciple which made him fertile, so that the seed of devotional service given to him by the pure devotees of the Lord could fructify. And this week we are looking at how actually he applied himself to practice the instructions he had received from the Bhakti Vedantas. And he applied those instructions in real life. Sometimes it happens that we say, okay, get real. We talk very high philosophy, theological principles, philosophical principles, but how do we apply them in our personal lives? How do we apply them in our communities? Are we living up to what we are preaching? Sometimes that's the challenge we sadly have to face. Sometimes even we have difficulty in our communities in keeping. Here we are lucky. There are many good things in the Radhadesh community. But sometimes when we travel around the world, we may see that in some communities we have difficulties in maintaining even the basic moral principles. What to speak then of transcendence? If we don't become situated in the mode of goodness, how we are going to be able to go to the mode of Shuddha Sattvam, or pure goodness, pure devotional service? So the challenge is there. And Narada Muni sets an example to us how to apply the instructions of the devotees, of the spiritual master, in real life. He had a tough life, and he was able to to keep up to the instructions given to him in Guru Parampara. So will be qualifications of the candidate, the mercy of the Lord, and the darshan of the Lord. And these three topics come through today's section from verses 1 to 25. We will start with verse number 1 written on the board. Suta uvacha evam nishamya bhagavan divarsher janma karma cha bhoya paprachatam brahman vyasa satyavati sutaha. Suta uvacha evam nishamya bhagavan devarsher janma karma cha bhoya paprachatam brahman vyasa satyavati suta. Suta uvacha evam nishamya bhagavan devarsher janma karma cha bhoya paprachatam brahman vyasa satyavati suta. Vaishnavis, janma karma cha bhoya paprachatam brahman vyasa satyavati sutaha. Srila Prabhupada's translation on purport. Sutta said, O Brahmanas, thus hearing all about Sri Narada's birth and activities, Vyasadev, the incarnation of God and son of Satyavati, inquired as follows. Purport. Vyasadev was further inquisitive to know about the perfection of Naradaji, and therefore he wanted to know about him more and more. In this chapter, Naradaji will describe how he was able to have a brief audience with the Lord while he was absorbed in the transcendental thought of separation from the Lord, and when it was very painful for him. So basically we see how a devotee a pure devotee who was born from a poor family, the family of a maid servant, as we were discussing last week. He was one of those children of monoparental families, they call it like that. This is very modern, but it seems that even in years of yore, sometimes these things will happen also. It's not that we have misery only in Kali Yuga, but the material world is Dukkalaya Mashashvatam, also in previous ages. And Narada Muni, he was experiencing such tribulations. But despite those tribulations, he was able to get mercy. And then Vyasa wants to know, how did it happen? How is it possible? So I'll read verses and discuss. And then we will see how Narada Muni got darshan of the Lord. He applied himself to the instructions received, and then he, as a reciprocation of the Lord, yajata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajami aham mama varmanu vartante manushya partha sarvashaha. As they surrender unto me, Krishna says, I reciprocate with them. So as a reciprocation of the Lord, he was able to see the Lord only once. And the Lord did that to increase Narada's intensity of desire to be with the Lord and to become completely pure and be able to be ready to go back home, back to Godhead in that very lifetime, that which we aspire for, or that we wish we will aspire for. Sometimes we don't aspire for that, but we wish we will aspire for going back home, back to Godhead in this very lifetime. Or we wish that we wish we will aspire. Or we wish that we wish that we wish we will aspire. So, but it's good that there is some wish at some point, some starting wish for going back to the lotus feet of Krishna. Text number 2. Sri Vyasadev said, what did you, Narada, do after the departure of the great sages who had instructed you in scientific transcendental knowledge before the beginning of your present birth? Because now he's meeting Narada as the liberated, as Prabhupada describes him, cosmonaut, astronaut, transcendental cosmonaut. Narada Muni is able to travel all over the universes, not just the material universes, not just to the moon or Mars, but also he's able to travel to Vaikuntha and then bring the good news of Vaikuntha to our places. Like I was chatting with Bhakt Antonio. Antonio is living today, and we were chatting a little bit. And then Antonio was reminding, during the chat, he said, yes, Krishna is everywhere. And Narada Muni saw, when he went to Dwarka, he saw Krishna in different palaces, and how Krishna was doing many things at the same time. He couldn't communicate so much with the devotees because of the lack of English language, and with 65 years old, it's difficult for him to learn English. But he was in sharing his realizations while talking, and he could. Now, by the mercy of Narada Muni, we all are getting the news. And in Portugal, in all the languages of the world, now he's going to Mexico to help the devotees there in the preaching, to Monte, the place where there is the mafia, I mean, all the killing and terrorists in Mexico. What's the name? Monterrey? Monterrey, El Cartel de Monterrey. He is going there. So And he's able to bring the news that Narada Muni is bringing from Goloka Vrindavan, is giving to all of us, can be distributed everywhere, all over the world. So the question is how did transformation, how this metamorphosis, transcendental metamorphosis, took place from being the son of a Shudrani, somebody Papayonaya, born from sinful reactions, we could say. Of course, she was not an ordinary lady. She was very, very good lady. Otherwise, how could she give birth to such a child? But still, from the social point of view, how did a son of a Shudrani became transformed? Vyasa is asking, in what you are now, a transcendental being traveling all over the universe and propagating the glories of the Lord. O son of Brahma, how did you pass your life after initiation? And how did you attain this body, having quit your old one in due course? It's interesting that Srila Prabhupada translates Paramvaya, Param, as after initiation. I'm not a Sanskritist, but certainly Param is not Diksha in the literal sense of meaning. Sometimes we think that initiation is the formal ceremony, which of course, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, based on all Shastras, formal initiation is required in order to properly approach the Lord. Formal Diksha is required. But initiation does not necessarily mean just formal initiation, but to receive Divya Gyana, the transcendental knowledge, as it has been described in the previous chapter, this is true initiation. In the chapter there is no mention that he sat and the Bhaktivedanta Siddha fire yagya for the child. Actually, the way how they initiated him was through transcendental song, singing songs about the Lord, and singing or reciting the glories of the Lord, and through prasadam. Once, with their permission, he took their remnants of food. So by service, by taking the service of the boy, by allowing him to take the remnants, and by giving instructions, that was the initiation that is described in the previous chapter. We don't know if there was fire yagya or not. There may have happened, it may not. But no description of formal diksha is given. Which this will be an argument in support. Sometimes some members of some of the branches of the Chaitanya tree challenge our branch, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's branch and Srila Prabhupada's branch, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, by saying, you people don't have parivara. You don't have a continuous line of diksha. But actually, here we see that greater emphasis is given to shiksha than to diksha. So certainly, here we find evidence that shiksha parivara is at least as good as diksha parivara, if not better, because shiksha parivara is described here, but diksha parivara is not described. So that's something to consider, to think about. So the question is, how did you pass your life? What did you do? You were initiated. How did you live? Basically, the implied question is, how did you use the instructions you had received from those pure devotees? O great sage, Time annihilates everything in due course. So how is it that this subject matter, which happened prior to this day of Brahma, is still fresh in your memory, undisturbed by time? We may be surprised when we hear about someone who claims to remember his or her past life. Some people seem to remember sometimes, and there are documentaries on that which we use for preaching in particular circles. Sometimes we refer, yes, this is empirically proven, because nowadays people have very much faith on empiric evidence. So we use those research which were conducted by scientists about people who remember their past lives. What to speak then of something which is from a previous life, but not just a previous lifetime, but is from a previous day of Brahma. This will be described later on, how Narada Muni, after he quit his body as the son of the maidservant, after living a life of devotional service, he entered into the body of Mahavishnu. And then he was born as the son of Brahma. And he had the transcendental body he presently has. That body became manifested through Lord Brahma by the will of the Lord. That's the power of Brahma, that he's so empowered that he can give birth to a son with a transcendental body. And the question is, how is it that you are able to remember? Because nobody is able to remember their past lives normally. What to speak of remembering their lives from a previous creation? So that's a very intriguing question. Sri Narada said, "The great sages who had imparted scientific knowledge of transcendence to me departed for other places, and I had to pass my life in this way." So basically he was actually feeling separation from them. "I had to pass my life in this way." Prabhupada says, in his previous life, when Naradaji was impregnated with spiritual knowledge by the grace of the great sages, there was a tangible change in his life, although he was only a boy of 5 years. So it is not a matter of age, it is a matter of attitude. Somebody may be a child, but if that child is mature in attitude, then will be fertile to, so that all the knowledge given by the pure devotees will fructify. And somebody, maybe a very old person, very experienced, having many, many lifetimes of experience, but if the attitude is not receptive, then nothing will fructify. The heart will be sterile, a place where nothing can be sown. Like sterile land, it's very difficult to grow anything in certain places. Like in the desert, it doesn't matter how much we plant, good seeds, nothing will grow. So the qualification of the candidate is very important. And therefore the first principle of a spiritual education from the perspective of, it is actually for both, for teachers and a student, but especially from the perspective of the student, because actually we are all students. We cannot be teachers if we are not students. Teacher means servant of his teachers. Servant of of the Guru, then we can offer some worthy offering to the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord. So the first ingredient is to being receptive to the instructions given by the spiritual master, to the instructions given by the devotees. And that means to take them to heart and to use them, to apply them in life. And that requires an attitude of service. So therefore, when that attitude was there was a tangible change in his life, Prabhupada says, although he was only a boy of 5 years. That is an important symptom visible after initiation by the bona fide spiritual master. Actual association of devotees brings about a quick change in life for spiritual realization. How it so acted upon the previous life of Sri Narada Muni is described by and by in this chapter. Text 6. I was the only son of my mother, who was not only a simple woman, but a maid servant as well. Since I was her only offspring, she had no other alternative for protection. She bound me with the tie of affection. She wanted to look after my maintenance properly, but because she was not independent, she was not able to do anything for me. The world is under the full control of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everyone is like a wooden doll in the hands of a puppet master. When I was a mere child of 5 years, I lived in a Brahmana school. I was dependent on my mother's affection and had no experience of different lands. Once upon a time, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the leg by a serpent, influenced by supreme time. So she was bitten by the serpent of time, who in this particular case became manifested as a real serpent of this world. But the serpent of time can beat us in any way, at any time, through cancer. Cancer, I hear recently in very short time, 2-3 devotees or other people also, who died of lung cancer. Lung cancer is very fast. If a person gets lung cancer, at least this is what I have heard of, all the cases of lung cancer go very fast that I know. Maybe there are others that not. I'm not expert in that, but I have from practical life what the people tell me, and people I knew, devotees I had friendship with, they left this world, I couldn't say goodbye to them. Narada Muni couldn't say goodbye to his mother. He didn't know that on that night his mother was going to die. She went to milk a cow as she will do every day. Very normal. Go to the goshala to milk the cow. Very normal activity. Here we're lucky, no snakes are here. But there are a snake of time can come in any other way. God forbid, long life to Mother Bhagavati, our leader of the goshala. But it's we don't know. Any of us can die at any moment. Also, a young man, a young woman, can leave this world at any moment. So, we are not older. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. We are not older by, in one sense, we could say we are not older because we are more years in this body, We could count old age also by how much time is left. So if we are a young man and we have 7 weeks to live, we could say in that sense, proportionately, we're older than someone who is 60 plus and has 30 more years to live. It's a way of looking. Of course, it's relative, but we don't know who is older. We have, of course, by logic, the older we become, the more chances we have, the more numbers we have to win the lottery. We do not gamble, but that type of gambling of nature. We have more chances to get to meet the serpent of time. In the case of Narada Muni's mother, that was her time, and that was also the time for Narada Muni to face the mercy of the Lord in the form of suffering. Suffering came in this way. He lost his only shelter. There was nothing, no one for him to care for who will care for him, but Sri Krishna, from whom he had learned recently by the mercy of the devotees. It was actually the mercy of the Lord that came through his pure devotees. And Prabhupada says in the purport, that is the way of dragging a sincere soul nearer to God. The poor boy was being looked after only by his affectionate mother, and yet the mother was taken from the world by the supreme will in order to put him completely at the mercy of the Lord. What is that verse? Yasyaham manurinami harishyatatanam shanai. Krishna says, whenever I want to give a special mercy to a devotee, I take away everything from him. And then that devotee has no other shelter than my lotus feet. So Krishna is very kind. And sometimes he may seem rough, but there is a saying in Spain, I don't know the equivalent in English, you can help me, those of you whose mother tongue is English. They say, who likes you dearly will make you cry. Who loves you dearly will make you cry. What's the English equivalent? Is there any equivalent saying in English? Somebody who loves you will make you cry. Meaning not torturing you, that's not the idea, but it means that will do something in order to wake you up, will extend himself or herself for your benefit. And then sometimes when we understand that only after, that happens sometimes with the younger people, with the parents, for example, we become rebels to the parents or to any authority figure. But then, after some years, we understand, oh, that person helped me out. Was getting on my case, not just because was picking on me and wanted to get on my case, but was getting on my case because actually liked me, wanted the best for me. So, and actually, Chanakya Pandit says that there are different types of enemies. And one type of enemy is the teacher who is lenient with the student. Those of you who are studying to become teachers, the teacher who is lenient with the student is an enemy. The authority who does not correct, the guru who does not correct the disciple when needs to be corrected, is actually an enemy. So we should be happy to be corrected when correction is required. Or even when correction is not required, it's good to be corrected so that we don't think we already know everything. The more we know, I remember Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu in one class he gave here 1 or 2 years ago, said, maybe even more, maybe longer, said that the more you know, like when he went to Oxford University to study, the more you know, the more you realize how little you know. So the more we learn about Krishna, the more we realize how small we are. So that principle is important in dealings. So Krishna, sometimes he may seem to act roughly with a devotee, taking away his mother, but actually Krishna has a plan. And Krishna is actually bringing that soul closer to him, bringing the mother also closer to him. And who knows, maybe they even will meet. Maybe not anymore as mother and son or daughter, but they will meet again and serve Krishna together. Why not? Everything is possible in the transcendental world. And then now it comes how Narada Muni reacted. What are Narada Muni's qualifications? Please pay attention, I may ask you some of the qualifications based on these verses. I took this as the special mercy of the Lord, who always desires benediction for his devotees. And so thinking, I started for the north. Prabhupada says, confidential devotees of the Lord see in every step a benedictory direction of the Lord. What is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the mundane sense is accepted as a special mercy of the Lord. Mundane prosperity is a kind of material fever, and by the grace of the Lord, the temperature of this material fever is gradually diminished, and spiritual health is obtained step by step. Mundane people misunderstand it. Sometimes some people lose faith on God. I don't know if you ever met somebody like that. I remember once distributing books, one person told me, "I do not believe in God anymore, because my child died. My child died, therefore how God could allow that my child die?" Did you meet somebody like that anytime? Is it sometimes people have, you like, any of you likes to share an experience of what they told you, why they lose faith in God, what happened to them that make them lose faith in God? You like to say, Remy? I don't know if you can answer.
Well, he was very young, he had a sister, and his sister was really sick. And he prayed, because he was Christian, so he prayed good. Because he saw in the Bible that when we pray good,
so what we will respond to that? Somebody will say, what will you tell that person? Like, he prayed to God and then God didn't respond, and in the Bible he says, you ask and you will receive, but I prayed and look what I received. I prayed for my sister to be saved, but my sister died. What will you say? speak about karma, could be. Okay, karma is one. Good. So a basic understanding of karma, and that we are not the body, that actually the son didn't, the child didn't die, the soul move on, but the body died, but the person continues existing. Mother Rupa Manjari? Good. And therefore Prabhupada taught us, as God is independent and he can do what he wants, Prabhupada said when we pray, we can pray for someone and say, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, this is what devotees were praying for Srila Prabhupada, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. Okay, that's a good point. So we should be careful what we preach also. Because it's true, many times I do know devotees who were preached like that. You pray to Krishna and you will get, and they got material things and they developed faith in Krishna, and later on they became detached. Later on, now they understand I shouldn't ask God for material things. I shouldn't bother God for this. Or if I do ask, I should accept his ultimate will. I may have a desire, but it's his desire. Is this beneficial for me and beneficial for others? So that's important. Good. I will move because otherwise we won't cover the points. Sorry, otherwise I will take more, but I wanted to see the other points so that tomorrow we can move to the next section. After my departure, I passed through many flourishing metropolises, towns, villages, animal farms, mines, agricultural lands, valleys, flower gardens, nursery gardens, and natural forest. I passed through hills and mountains full of reservoirs of various minerals like gold, silver, and copper, and through tracts of land with reservoirs of water filled with beautiful lotus flowers, fit for the denizens of heaven, decorated with bewildered bees and singing birds. I then pass alone through many forests of rushes, bamboo reeds, sharp grass, weeds, and caves, which were very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark, and dangerously fearful forests, which were the play yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. Prabhupada explains that this is the position of the devotee who renounced the world, should be ready to travel to different places and experience all the conditions of the world. the nice, like the comfortable conditions and also the tough conditions, and learn to see the mercy of the Lord everywhere. As Narada was practicing, he was seeing the mercy of the Lord in his, the Lord having taken his mother. Thus traveling, I felt tired, both bodily and mentally, and I was both thirsty and hungry. So I took a bath in a river lake and also drank water. By contacting water, I got relief from my exhaustion. After that, under the shadow of a banyan tree, in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the super soul situated within, using my intelligence as I had learned from liberated souls. So he was using the techniques he learned from them for doing meditation, for doing japa, we could say, for us will be japa. All the techniques he had learned in the japa retreat with the sages, he was using for remembering Krishna, for meditating. As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, with my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down my eyes. And without delay, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared on the lotus of my heart. O Vyasadev, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. So he actually experienced Baba Bhakti by the mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion that Baba Bhakti can be attained only by the mercy of the Lord, or by the mercy of a devotee of the Lord. But mercy is required. And he got that darshan. This was actually antar darshan, or darshan of the Lord within the heart, which according to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there is no difference between antar darshan and sakshat darshan. The Lord is there. Of course, then, sometimes the devotees pray for direct darshan of the Lord, but actually this was as powerful, because it was real, was as powerful as sakshat darshan, seeing the Lord face to face. And all the senses became enlivened, and any of the senses can perform the functions of the other. Therefore, there is no difference between antar darshan, darshan within the heart, or darshan with the external senses. Because ultimately, darshan means to see with the eyes of the self, atma bhakto, with the eyes of bhakti, the eyes of love, which are manifest by the soul itself, or himself. The transcendental form of the Lord, as it is, satisfies the mind's desire and at once erases all mental incongruities. Upon losing that form, I suddenly got up, being perturbed, as is usual when one loses that which is desirable. So the Lord gave darshan for a moment, but then the curtain closed again. Like in some temples in Vrindavan or in the holy places, they close the curtain, they open and close, and the devotees have to be waiting for when again the Lord will give darshan. So the Lord may give darshan once in a lifetime, in a very direct way, but then he hides himself. I know the Lord explains why. Two more verses before that. I desire to see again that transcendental form of the Lord, but despite my attempts to concentrate upon the heart with eagerness to view the form again, I could not see him anymore, and thus dissatisfied, I was very much aggrieved. seeing my attempts in that lonely place, the personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all mundane description, spoke to me with gravity and pleasing words, just to mitigate my grief. O Narada, the Lord spoke, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and who are not completely free from all material taints can hardly see me. So the point is that we need to become purified before we can see God. And therefore he may hide himself so that we increase our eagerness to see him. He may reveal a little to attract us, but then he hides, so that by separation, by worshipping Krishna in separation, we burn all the remaining material taints, material incongruities, material conceptions, upadis, so that we can see Krishna face to face. O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me, because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. By service of the Absolute Truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up the present deplorable material worlds. Intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time, even at the time of creation, as well as at the time of annihilation. Your remembrance will continue by my mercy. So again, mercy is there. By the mercy of the Lord, he lost his mother. By the mercy of the Lord, he had met the Bhaktivedantas before that. By the mercy of the Lord, he was able to follow the instructions. Narada Muni was able to follow the instructions of his spiritual masters. By the mercy of the Lord, he saw the Lord within his heart. By the mercy of the Lord hid himself. And then, here the Lord says, by my mercy you will be able to remember me. So everything we get is the mercy of the Lord, and the only thing we need to do is to learn to appreciate that. That perhaps is the challenge for the rebel soul who is in the material world, doesn't want him to accept everything the Lord is giving us. And the last verse of today, then that supreme authority personified by sound and unseen by eyes, but most wonderful, stop speaking. Feeling a sense of gratitude, I offer my obeisances unto him, bowing my head. And this is the attitude, the guiding principles for all Vaishnavas, as Prabhupada puts it in Nectar of Devotion, should be the Tatte Nukampam verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Brahma, that a devotee who accepts every tribulation in life as the mercy of the Lord, and without any reservations, and actually as Narada Muni is doing here, with a feeling of gratitude, bows down constantly to the Lord in every circumstance of life, becomes the natural inheritor of the kingdom of God at the end of this life. And this is what happened to Narada Muni, and we will hear more about that tomorrow from Gopal Hari Prabhu. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any comments or questions, I don't think we have the time now, but you can write them down, and perhaps tomorrow during the discussion there is some sometime. Tomorrow we will cover verses from 26 to the end of the chapter, which is verse number 38. Thank you. Hare Krishna.